Welcome to the second season of Goals Do Come True, the show that takes a deep dive into the systems and processes that help turn your business goals into reality. Hosted by me, Doug Bennett, the Goals Guy. If you like what you hear today, please remember to share the love by liking, sharing, and reviewing the show. It helps spread the word to others looking for help with their goals. Anyway, let's crack on. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Goals Do Come True with me, Doug Bennett. Today, I am joined by Michael DeLon. Now, he's the president of Paperback Expert. He helps business owners publish a book that positions them as the expert in their field. Business owners seek out Michael to clarify their brand strategy and make them best-selling authors. They use his credibility marketing strategies to gain more clients, get more referrals, and grow their revenue. And you can't beat a bit of credibility, and books are, to my mind, one of the things that do that for you. So, Michael, thank you very much for joining me. I've got a more solid broadband connection this time, so we're good to go this time.
Oh, Doug, it's going to be great. I'm looking forward to being here and having a great conversation with you. Thanks for having me.
No, it's an absolute pleasure. Thank you for your patience. We've got to crack on because this man has got a busy diary. So I'm very, very chuffed that he's managed to slot some time for us. Now, tell us a little bit more background about yourself.
I'll give you my whole story in about 3 minutes, okay? So just listen really fast. I'm a follower of Christ. I've been married for almost 33 years now. And my wife and I got married in 90. We were living in Indiana. First 5 years of my marriage, Doug, were like this. Man, my wife and I just kind of hit heads and fought all the time because nobody taught us how to be married. She and I grew up in churches, but nobody ever taught us how to be married. And so we, after 5 years of that conflict, went to a marriage conference called a Family Life Marriage Conference by an organization out of Campus Crusade for Christ, sat in a ballroom, and they taught us God's blueprints for marriage. I didn't know he had any blueprints. So we grabbed those things, we started applying them, our marriage started getting better, and that's in the 90s, okay? So back then I was in Christian radio sales, and I would come out and try to sell you some radio advertising. I learned after 2 years of doing that, Doug, that nobody wants to buy Christian radio. What they want to do is sell their products and services. So I had to figure out if I was going to be really, really good at selling and learn all the techniques and the tie downs and all of that, or become really good at marketing and actually help you grow your business. So I chose marketing. I bought the books, followed the gurus, went to the conferences, learned how to do marketing for small business owners. So my business grew over the 90s as I'd help my clients grow. Okay, so fast forward to the end of 90, dot-coms were going crazy. Some friends of mine started a dot-com back when Amazon was just getting started. And so I left the radio station, went to startup.com to do sales, selling advertising and websites to local businesses, right? And that company was ahead of its time, Doug. That means they went bankrupt. And so I found myself standing in my living room going, God, what am I supposed to do now? And he said, Michael, I want you in a ministry to marriages. I want you at Family Life, that ministry that changed our life. And so I said, okay. So it's a missionary organization. We raised our financial support for 2 years, took us 2 years to do that. Then we moved from Indiana down to Little Rock, Arkansas, which is where I live now. Joined the ministry, thought I was going to be there forever. Why would I ever do anything else, Doug, besides help people better marriages? Well, I climbed the corporate ladder. 6 years later, I'm on the leadership team of that ministry. Then they start going through corporate reorganizations. And after the third reorganizational chart was rolled out, my name's no longer on the leadership team. So they start shuffling me around the ministry to do different things. That was the beginning of a 2 year, I call it a prison term, because I was in a job that I hated at a ministry I loved. So I knew I had to get out. I prayed. God said, what do you want to do? I said, I want to go help small business owners with marketing because they hate it and I love it. And he said, go. So on January 1st of 2013, I escaped from prison. I left the ministry, started a marketing consulting firm here in Little Rock. I'd come out, talk to you about your marketing, growing your business. And you'd say, now, Michael, what have you done in the last 3 years? Who have you helped? And I'd say, well, I've helped build marriages and families at Family Life. And you'd say, that's honorable, Michael. Way to go. Oh, look at the time. I've got another meeting, Michael. Let's keep going on another day. And you'd usher me out the door. I wasn't getting any clients. I knew I had to fix that. So I went to my church one day, paced the hallways back and forth, crying out to God, saying, God, how do I help Doug? Because I know that I can. And God gave me the idea. He says, take all of your ideas around marketing and put them in a book. And so I did. So Doug, back in 2013, I published my first book on marketing. And then I would call you, set an appointment, mail a copy of my book to you, walk into your office a week later, and there it was. My book was on your desk, dog-eared, highlighted, underlined. You'd read my book.
Amazing.
And in that meeting, Doug, you'd say, now, Michael, in your book, you said, how do you help me do that? And you'd hire me. I started gaining clients and I thought, wow, this is really a great marketing strategy. Why don't business owners do this? So I created a process, a system that eliminates all of the barriers and headaches of creating a book. So today I run Paperback Expert, where we help business owners, experts, thought leaders create a book without writing a word and then make them an Amazon best-selling author to gain credibility. Then we teach them actually how to make money using their book to gain clients, get referrals, and grow their revenue. Whew. That's my story. That's how I got here. Now we can talk about anything you want, but you get a feel for kind of who I am and how in the world did I get to do this?
The thing is that you found something with help.
Oh, yeah. Oh, totally.
With help. Yeah. And we like that. We like wherever the help comes from.
Mm-hmm.
We're good with that. So do you write goals down?
I do. They're on my wall right here.
Okay.
And I keep them in my planner. I review them on a regular basis. Absolutely.
Okay. So they're physically written down.
They are. Yeah. There's something weird about physically writing things down.
Okay.
I don't know what it is, but I typically use like Google Docs, and I've got an annual goal sheet that breaks things down to short-term, mid-term, long-term goals. And I review that regularly. I update it a couple times a year. And, you know, as we're keeping track.
People have different time frames and timelines. So what would you say was a short-term term and a medium-term term and a long-term term?
Yep. So for me, short-term is 1 year, mid-term is 1 to 3, and then long-term is 3+. And then I'll take my one-year goals and break them down hopefully into 90-day segments, because I can get my head around 90 days. I can focus on about anything for 90 days. That's about it.
I think that's fairly common, actually.
Okay.
You know, I'm getting that through the hundreds of people that I've interviewed. 90 days seems to be the trigger and the crucial time frame. So I like that, and try and pull these nuggets out for people that are listening. And, you know, that definitely is one of them. So what big, hairy, audacious goal are you working on at this moment in time that you're happy to share with us?
Yeah. So our big, hairy, audacious goal is 3.5 in 2025. What that means is as a company, we are driving to generate $3.5 million in gross revenues by December 31st of 2025. We've got our objective set. We know the points along the way, and we are on track. It's going to be an exciting journey. But that's the big one that visions me. And the reason we want to do that, Doug, let me take it to the next level, because that sounds all great.
Yeah, yeah. But why?
Gross revenue is awesome. We're going to have a 40% margin, which means our net revenue that year is going to be $1.4 million. We are going to give 70% of that away to the kingdom of God through ministries and missionaries that we support and things that we want to do. So that's over $1 million that we're going to give that year. That's why that goal is important to me. It's not so I can buy a mansion or a Lamborghini. I don't care. I've got everything I need in life, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going after bigger things, bigger dreams, and saying, how can I support that in a bigger way?
And that is something I think people need to pick up on along the way. It's like, you know, you cut your teeth on reasonable sized goals, and then, you know, you get your big, hairy, audacious goal. And when, you know, once you bring goals into your life, I think the important thing that you mentioned there is that you've got everything that you need.
Yeah.
And that would have been based upon goals and your guidance.
Yeah.
And now you're in a position to be able to go on that next step and make a true difference. And, you know, I found that with a few of my guests, it's like, you know, they've got to a stage where things are okay.
Yeah.
With their personal stuff. And now we can make a real difference and get involved in what the world needs.
Absolutely. And that's really good, because years ago, I've always wanted, I'm a giver, right? God's made me a giver. We love giver. And I've always wanted to give big. But 8 years ago, I didn't have the people in place. I didn't have the systems in place in my business to get it, first, profitable, second, working by itself, really, you know, running on autopilot in a sense, and then third, so that we can take it to that next level. And what I hear a lot of times, Doug, in the world is, hey, join my program. We'll help you scale to 7-8 figures. And it's a myth most of the time because the small business owner doesn't have the systems in place in order to make that happen. So we have systematically worked over the last 2 years to build systems into our business, to hire people to run those systems. So it's a well-oiled machine that allows us now to scale, you know, I hate that word, to serve more clients without overwhelming our team so that we can hit these objectives.
Okay. I mean, I like that. We like scale. We like automation. We like processes.
Yes.
So are there any particular tools that you use for creation of the processes? Or is it as simple as maybe almost an Excel spreadsheet with the step-by-step-by-step-by-step? But
that's
I go with School Leavers Guide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or you know, somebody that's fresh out of, you know, they've got all of the ideas and they know how to conquer the world. Because all school leavers know how to do that, as we know, you know,
yes.
Even though they don't, even though they haven't got the experience. But, you know, is it that granular? It's like, right, click this button, follow that process, click here, click there. Is it that granular?
It is. And I have a Caleb. Our phrase is everybody needs a Caleb. Caleb is my eldest son. He's 28. He works with me. He is my chief operations officer. And he is the one who does exactly what you just said. Whatever system we have, he first does it and creates it in a Google document, step by step. He'll then bring his assistant in and she will model it and follow it and add to it. And then it gets codified into our master. He's got a Google spreadsheet that has all of our systems listed in order so they can click a button. It goes to that system and it is step by step. Here's what the system is. Here's why we do it this way. Here's the purpose of the system. Here's step one. Here's step two. Here's step three. Here's a video to teach you how to do this. He has codified everything.
Hello. I hope you don't mind me interrupting this episode. Just wanted to tell you about one of my other businesses, which is DB Wealth Planning and Preservation. We do cash flow modeling, lifestyle financial planning, and wills and trusts. So if that's something that's on your agenda, if you want to see what your future looks like well ahead of the game, then pop over to my website, dbwpp.co.uk, and we'll help you create your future and protect your assets. So that's dbwpp.co.uk. Anyway, let's go back to the podcast.
Oh, I like that. I like the, you know, adding in those couple of extra steps. This is all well and good, go to the website. But adding in there the fact that actually this process is in place to achieve this.
Yes.
For this purpose. And it does this.
Yeah.
And here's step one. So now you get the understanding, but also not only that, you know that you're in the right place.
Exactly. Yeah. And they're all, because of my son, they're all formatted the same way. So they all look the same. So you're never, and you start seeing how this one ties into that other one over there. And we've always told our people, we build the system. We'll teach you our system. You run the system first. But if you find ways to improve the system, please let us know.
Yeah.
And we modify systems because of feedback from our team members going, hey, that's clunky or that doesn't work or there's an easier way to do that or step seven is not necessary. It's like, well, great, let's get rid of it. But yeah. Systems, yeah. So we I think the last time I talked to Caleb, he's got, I think he told me 67 systems that work in our business and they're all just like that in a variety of areas. So it's not technology, but it's how do you do anything. Anytime we do one thing and we know we're going to do it twice, like an email. Okay. So I got an email from a client the other day, Doug, and they said, hey, you know, the manuscript I got back isn't quite as good as I think. What do you think about it? What should I do? Okay. That's not my area, Doug, in my business. Mm-hmm. That falls into the writer's area. And so I crafted an email and I said, well, first, have you talked to your writer? Have you talked with Caleb? And I thought, I'm going to get that question again. So I created that system, a template. An email template based on that. So next time I get that question, I just have to find that template. It's in that template and it tells you everything, who to contact, what to do, why we do it that way. No, I'm not trying to beg off and say you're all alone, but it just works better. But I know I'm going to do that again. So I just built a template, which is a different type of system.
Yeah. I'm loving this. We've got lots of systems in place and, you know, processes, and they are step by step. I do like the fact adding those little extra bits, and this is why we do it, and this is the end result. This is what you should be able to achieve. And I like also and we all need a Caden, that he, you know, he goes through and starts it, and then his assistant, you know, runs through it. I think he, you know, he needs to be observing and not involving himself.
Yes.
So that the assistant can go, I'm following. Now where do I go?
Right.
You know, and then you find that within that,
mm-hmm.
there's a missing step.
Well, and what Caleb has told me about building systems with his assistant, he says a lot of times, because he's matured so much in doing this, he's like, if we have a system to build, Caleb and his assistant hop on a Zoom call and they build the system together in a 30 to 40 minute period of time. Now he's done, because now they understand everything and the assistant can go and finish it, come back if they have questions. But that leverages Caleb's time, because he's not creating it, then doing this, then doing that. He's like, let's just do it all in one fell swoop. Here's what we're doing. And because it's all codified, everybody knows, you know, where it lives. It's like, okay, I can do that. So we're empowering and equipping our people to take things off of our plate. And that's effective delegation. And it's super great, because now you've got technology and a video that if she has a question, she can go watch the video first instead of saying, hey, Caleb, I need 15 more minutes. So it's
knowing that data's there.
Totally. And it's all saved in Google Drive and every place. So everybody's got it.
And it's a fail safe. That gives them the confidence to make decisions for themselves as well, which is another important thing. And it's something I teach my team. It's like, look, right, I'm going to back you. It used to be 200. And I'm not going to add pounds or dollars, but it was 200, right? If you make a decision and it's going to cost us less than 200 to put it right, if you get it wrong, make the decision.
That's right.
You know? And now we've moved. I never paid out 200.
That's right.
And now I've made it 1,000. So they're making bigger decisions.
That's good.
For themselves. And they're not coming to me. It's like, no. It's like, I'll back you. You've worked with me for I don't know how many years. You know what my style is. And you know what, you know the way that I like to do things. Yeah. And so, I think that's, you know, one of the steps in my book and the program that I'm introducing is this like automation and processes section. So that's worked really, really well for me. Thank you in that respect. Now, I like to ask, is there a Michael Dillon golden nugget around goals and goal setting that the world needs to know?
Well, for me, it's all involved in getting the vision. So I believe, Doug, that obviously I believe in God and Christ and things. So I think that when I get ideas, most of the time, I think they're kind of coming from God. And so I have to vet them. I have to pray and go, all right, is that really me? Is that really like this 3.5 in 2020? That's pretty audacious.
Yeah.
Oh, who am I to think that? Well, I think God's got some great plans that I know nothing about. So I'm going to go for it. I read the book, The One Thing by Gary Keller, which is a phenomenal book. And that really helped me think about what is the one thing that if I do that really well, everything else becomes easier or unnecessary. And so I use that. It's on my wall right over here, that focusing question that he talks about in that book. And it helps me come back. So, I mean, we're thinking about business growth this year. We're trying to grow 50%, our top line, 50% this year. Okay. How am I going to do that? Well, there are lots of strategy, tactics and things, right? For us, it's building key partnerships with what I call mavens, people who already have my audience, and building relationships there. So they will take me to their audience with trust and authenticity, and their audience will come to me. So I like years ago in sales, I read a book and the guy said, sell them in bunches like bananas. Right. Don't just sell one-on-one, sell one to many.
Yeah.
And that's the strategy we use. So today I just spent about an hour and a half this morning thinking through the mavens we have. How can we structure a beneficial program What's in it for them? How can I add more value? What's it look like? And now, how do I go back and make that happen? And how do I multiply that? How can I add 6 to 8 more mavens this year? Because I know when I do that, I'm going to gain the clients to hit the revenue.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm focused. I guess that would be it. What's the one thing that you can focus on that is that big lever that helps you accomplish 10 other things?
Yeah. No, I like that. The one big thing.
The one big thing.
Yeah. I've read that book. And this is another thing. I've read an awful lot of books and I know that it's all in here. Just got to pull it out sometimes. Just got to pull it out sometimes, right?
Let me rephrase this whole thing. You know what a fulcrum is, right?
Yes.
Like a point and a fulcrum, you got a teeter totter, right?
Yeah.
When I first wrote my book, I put on the back of it a picture because I talk about a concept called fulcrum positioning. And it's dealing with the idea that if you've got that teeter totter and that plank and you put the fulcrum in the middle, it balances. But if you move that fulcrum to an edge, now you get extreme leverage.
Yeah.
And the question around goal setting and the one thing and all that is, where can you move that fulcrum over to gain greater leverage in what you're focusing on? So I don't know if that helps or not, but that's the mindset that I try to have around goals is what are the one or two or three that I need to focus on that are going to give me the biggest result to get me where I want to go?
Yeah. No, that's good. I was on a course today and one of the attendees was going, oh, I've got so much going on. And I said, well, look, you know, just get a large A3 sheet of paper and write absolutely everything that's in your brain on the sheet of paper.
Yeah.
And then find one, two or three things that are the biggest differences, you know, that are going to make a difference to your business because there's going to be lots of things that aren't going to make that much of a difference. I did ask her, I asked her if she had any children because, you know, very often when we do this brain dump, we'll have a client that's worth 3,000 and a client that's worth 500. And you're thinking, well, I'm expending the same amount of energy on both of them. But if you ask an 8-year-old who is more important, the 3,000 person or the 500 person, they get it.
Yep.
But sometimes we just don't see that. So that's, you know, another thing is like, if you're overwhelmed, just get it all out on paper.
And yes.
I think you said it earlier, there's something about, you know,
writing it down.
It's the crazy connection and all the rest of it. And just get down that one, two or three things, concentrate on that. And if you just do three things a week, you know,
you're way ahead of everybody.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Goal setting and things and just finding your own way to do it. But it's one of those weird things that you write down goals and then sometimes you just forget about them or whatever. And you look back a year later, you're like, wow, I accomplished that. That's crazy.
Well, this is where it all came from. This is a little notebook that I wrote in 2004.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And I had 11 goals on there. I earn 100,000. I do not sweat over problems. I'm an excellent timekeeper. I own a Harley Davidson 1200 custom Sportster. And, you know, I wrote them down. It got tucked in the drawer, forgot about it, got bored with the idea. And I found it about, I don't know, 6 or 7 years later. And I'd completed 10 out of 11 of the goals that I'd written down. So,
That's,
so I thought, oh, do you know what? I need to start writing them again and writing them bigger.
Yeah, exactly. Because there, and that's one thing that came out of the one thing book for me is Gary Keller. Somebody came up to him and said, hey, do you think it's too much to talk about, you know, how big should your goals be? And he's like, well, how big's your potential? If somebody gave you the opportunity, Doug, to you set the potential, the limit on how much you can achieve, where would you set it? And he's like, well, I'd way up there. He's like, then it's kind of a moot point to talk about this, right? Just go. And it's those limiting beliefs that we believe. I tell people all the time, I say, stop listening to yourself and start talking to yourself.
Mm.
And that's been a real big help because the enemy whispers to us, Doug, you're not good enough. Doug, you don't deserve a Harley. Doug, you'll never do. Doug, stop it. Yes, I am.
Yeah.
And so it's just stop listening to yourself and start talking to yourself with good, positive things. Surround yourself with the right people and just go for it and have fun. And you know what? If you only hit 10 out of 11, what a failure you are, right?
Well, indeed.
Oh, shut up, man. If I got 3 out of 11, that's better than 90% of the people on earth.
Yeah,
so, it's all good.
Well, no, that's been absolutely perfect. How can people get hold of you? Tell us, you know, the best places. We're going to make sure that there's a link to your, Facebook. I think you've got Facebook, you're on LinkedIn your website. We'll make sure
that's it.
But what's the quickest way?
Yeah, the quickest way is honestly my website, paperbackexpert.com. You can book a call with me. You can watch videos of what we do. You can read about testimonials, but that really is the hub of all things Michael. And there's a trainings tab. We do free trainings on different types of credibility marketing. Watch those. There's just all kinds of great information there. But if you want to know who I am and what I do, paperbackexpert.com is by far the best place to go.
And there we have it, folks. Michael, I know you've got a stacked out day today.
And
so I'm going to give you a little bit of extra time to prep for it.
That's awesome. Thank you. I'll take that.
Okay. And thank you so very much for joining me. This has been Michael DeLon, the paperback expert. And you can get him from the show notes and from his website. Michael, thank you very much indeed.
Doug, you're welcome. This has been a joy. How much fun it was. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to Goals Do Come True. I'm Doug Bennett, the Goals Guy. Please remember to subscribe and review on Apple, Google, or Spotify. Visit dougbennett.co.uk for the latest on transforming your life through goals. Happy goal setting. Until next time.